and welcome to the ParaUnity Podcast. Tonight, we have with us Brad and Sarah Wilson from B-Town Paranormal, based out of Indianapolis, Indiana. But before we bring Sarah and Brad on, let's talk a little bit about Indianapolis. Indianapolis, often shortened to Indy, is the state capital and most populous city in the state of Indiana, and is the seat of Marion County. According to 2017 estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau, the consolidated population of Indianapolis and Marion County was 872,680, and it is the 17th most populous city in the U.S. History of this city dates back to 1818, when the Delaware relinquished their tribal lands in the Treaty of St. Mary's. Then, in 1821, Indianapolis was founded as a planned city for the new seat of Indiana's state government. The city was platted by Alexander Ralston and Elias Pym Fordham on a 1-square-mile grid next to the White River. Completion of the National and Michigan roads and the arrival of rail later solidified this city's position as a manufacturing and transportation hub. Two of the city's nicknames reflect its historical ties to transportation: the Crossroads of America and the Railroad City. Fortune 500 companies of Anthem, Eli Lilly and Company, and Simon Property Group are headquarters here in Indianapolis. The city has hosted many international multi-sports events, such as the 1987 Pan American Games and the 2001 World Police and Fire Games, but is perhaps best known for annually hosting the world's largest single-day sporting event, the Indianapolis 500. Indianapolis is also home to two major league sports clubs, the Indiana Pacers of the NBA and the Indianapolis Colts of the NFL. It is home to a number of educational institutions such as the University of Indianapolis, Butler University, Marion University, and Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis, or IUPUI. The city's robust philanthropic community has supported several cultural assets, including the world's largest children's museum, one of the nation's largest privately funded zoos, historical buildings and sites, and public art. The city is also home to the largest collection of monuments dedicated to veterans and war casualties in the U.S. outside of Washington, D.C. Such deep history and philanthropy is a proverbial breeding ground for our paranormal interests, and Indianapolis is no different. The historic buildings that house the Slippery Noodle have been around for a while, you know, since 1850, so it has its share of spirits. Among those seen here are ghosts of slaves, a cowboy, a caretaker, and a prostitute. Our next place is a local theater. It's the 1927 Rivoli Theater. It is rumored to have been built atop Indian burial grounds. Witnesses have reported a wide array of hauntings that include apparitions, toilets that flush by themselves, faucets that turn on, a smoking cigarette butt that appeared in an ashtray out of nowhere, moving objects, and things that have gone missing. Some of the ghosts at this next historic site are said to have been hidden slaves, one of whom who accidentally tripped over a lamp, igniting a house fire. Those killed at this place, the Hannah House, were said to be buried in the very cellar where it happened. Witnesses have described a lot of activity in the cellar, including apparitions of slaves, moans and groans, and cold spots. Former owner Mr. Hannah himself has been seen in the upstairs and on the balcony, and an older woman's apparition has been seen here as well. Last but not least, we have the 1848 Indiana Hospital for the Insane, which was turned into the Central State Hospital in 1926. This hospital is said to be haunted by many patients who have suffered abuse here in the hospital's dark past. Witnesses have described shadows, apparitions, woman screams, electrical devices that turn on and off by themselves, unexplained noises, footsteps, and more. Now, help me welcome to the ParaUnity Podcast, Brad and Sarah Wilson, for a first-hand look at some great haunted locations and some insight into the science of paranormal investigations used in Indianapolis, Indiana. Brad, Sarah, how are you doing tonight?
We're doing good. How about you guys?
We're doing great. I'm glad you're able to take the time to get on the show tonight.
Well, it's great to be here. We love doing podcasts.
We do.
Good. Well, I'll make sure to send that rain your guys' way because we're done with it here.
Because we're going through a heat wave right now in October.
Yeah, it shouldn't be 91 degrees in October.
No. Well, Sarah, let's start with you. What got you interested in the paranormal?
Well, I think I've always had like a fascination with it. Even growing up, I've always been just fascinated with the paranormal, demonic possession, just all of it. Just really intrigued me. But I really didn't get the urge to start investigating until my mother died of 2016, and I just had a lot of unanswered questions.
Sure. I mean, anytime that happens with somebody, it definitely will raise up a lot of questions and have you wanting more. How about you, Brad? What got you interested in the paranormal?
Well, it's funny. Back when I was younger, me and my mom would always watch Ghost Adventures. And then my grandmother had passed away about the age of 13, and I started having like these dreams that like she would like sit down beside of me and talk to me, and then I really wanted to kind of figure out what was I seeing? Was it a dream? Was it not a dream? And then that's when I really just started digging deeper into it. I basically fell in love with it. And then me and my wife here, then that's when we got with John and Kara. And that's when we started B-Town Paranormal down there in Alabama and Bamanette.
Okay. And what year did you say you guys got started down there?
2016. It was like November 2016.
Okay. Yes, yeah, so you guys are almost up to your 3-year anniversary.
Yep. Oh, yeah, we're getting there.
Nothing wrong with that. So now, you're talking a little bit about your friends down there in Alabama that are on the team as well. So do you guys do like a joint thing with them helping out down in Alabama and you guys in Indiana? And then you get together when you can? Or?
Yeah, that's kind of how we do it. Usually when John can find time, you know, out of work and everything, he'll go film like a walkthrough through a cemetery or, you know, something to kind of just get something in on his side. And, you know, we'll put it on our channel. And then, you know, you and Brad and John share another YouTube account together, which is a cars and vape product review channel.
Yep.
So, like, we're always intermingling videos back and forth. And then, you know, they make trips up to here to do some investigations. The last one we did together was, like, last year.
Yep. When they came up here.
Yeah, we did a whole team meetup thing with a few
Exploring
other channels.
With Jay and
Michael's Explorations and Jason Journey.
Yeah.
Sure. And then a lot of what you guys were saying is you guys post a lot of stuff on your YouTube channel. What's the name of your YouTube channel?
It was B-Town Paranormal, but it's now changed to B-Town's Exploring the Paranormal.
Okay. And then you guys, I guess for a little background for our listeners, you guys, besides just doing your ghost investigations, you guys also do a lot of the urban exploration as well, too, don't you?
Oh, yeah. That if I may say, that was kind of my idea, just because, you know, I've watched, you know, The Proper People and, you know, and Exploring with Josh and exploring channels like that and seeing some of the beautiful places they can get into and explore. And I was talking to her one day. I was like, honey, like, what if we kind of started, you know, filming a couple abandoned places and posting it on YouTube, mm-hmm. and seeing how the views would go to see whether they would like it or they
wouldn't like it.
Right. Thank you. I got tongue tied. And they seemed to like it. So that's when we really started doing more. And
I think it's a really good thing, too, because not only can we just explore, we can incorporate paranormal in with our abandoned. Like, while we're exploring, we can pull out some equipment and do some EVPs and, you know, things like that, because a lot of your abandoned places are as well haunted.
Sure, absolutely. So, with your urban exploration and your investigations and stuff like that, what would you say has been your favorite place to investigate?
That's a tough one. Man, we've done a lot. What would your favorite be?
I honestly don't know. out of every single place we have been to from the start,
my favorite one
to
is
now.
Mercy Hospital in Gary. That's my Mercy Hospital in Gary, Indiana, because it was such a beautifully abandoned hospital. On top of being historic, that's where all the Jackson 5 was born, in that hospital. And then the night we were there, we caught the most compelling piece of paranormal evidence we've ever caught on our channel. Other than picture, we've caught amazing pictures, but we got into the hospital room. It was a surgery room, and we shut the door, and then all of a sudden it just swung open on camera. Like, it just swung open.
That's crazy. I know I've caught a few of the times where we've had doors open. I mean, it really takes your breath away.
It did. I couldn't breathe.
But the crazy thing about it is, like, okay, let me set the whole scene up. We went up to the fourth floor, and the room we went into, on the floor, the ceiling, like the tiles of the ceiling, and like mold and just crumbled. Because
we were
concrete,
in the surgery, in the surgery prep room.
But the door and leading to the hallway, it was like when I pulled the door closed, it took everything I had because there was so much stuff on the floor. It was stopping the door from closing. And
it just swung open effortlessly.
And then no more than we got everything set up, camera started rolling. I had my lights on, and then just watching the door, just like someone just was just pushing it with their finger. It was that easy for that door to open. But it was so hard to close it.
Yeah. We caught some really amazing EVPs in there, like really intelligent, like agreeing with us that it was cold, agreeing that we had some saying some foul language because we were cussing because it was, 20 degrees?
Yeah.
It was cold, and I guess they were doing it with us because we caught a lot of those.
I mean, the night that door opened up, it was getting close. It was right before winter hit, or right after winter hit.
It was Thanksgiving night.
Yeah.
That we were in there.
And it was like 20 degrees, and the windshield was like -10.
It was cold. Huh. Or something like that. It was cold.
And half the windows in a hospital are either busted out, or there's just no window at all.
It was freezing, and like we were just cussing the whole way through, and then we were getting it right back. Like, I guess they were agreeing.
Yeah, well, if it's that cold, I don't blame them for wanting to cuss and swear about it, because I'm not a big fan of cold weather myself.
But also, too, do you remember about a year or so ago when we went to Central State?
Yeah.
And we went to the Lost Cemetery.
It was cold.
Now, do you remember that one question I asked that
night?
Yeah,
we always wondered, can spirits tell if it's warm or cold? If they can tell, if they know what season it is.
Can they tell the change in season?
Can they tell
if
it's cold? And that answered
funny.
It.
And then when we went to Mercy Hospital, I sat there and said, do you know that? Are you cold right now?
No, you said you were going up the steps and you said, damn, it's cold. And then a man's voice right behind you said, yeah, it is. He was agreeing with you.
And when I heard that right there validated that question. They do know if it's cold, if it's hot, if it's fall.
It took us a year to get that answer.
Yeah. And that's that hospital.
The one in Gary, Indiana.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
And you guys were talking about, was that the Central State Hospital, correct?
Yeah, that is our favorite spot. I feel like I'm just connected to that place somehow.
Now, is that the one that's in Indianapolis?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the one that used to be the criminally insane hospital, and then they turned it into a regular hospital, right?
They never turned it into a rural hospital. It was always a mental asylum from like 1840 to 1993. It was always an insane asylum, but they shut down due to upgrades in medication.
Okay.
And they were poor, underfunded, I think, and abuse claims.
They didn't have they couldn't get the updated equipment. Yeah. And they were doing lobotomies and all types of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad things about that place. But, yeah, we go there so much. Even during the day, we just go.
Sure. Well, and, yeah, because if I remember what I read about that place is, you know, a lot of the stuff that they say happens there is there's a lot of apparitions, a lot of shadows. You can hear the sounds of people screaming from the lobotomies and stuff that took place years ago. What kind of stuff did you guys find when you were there?
Oh, man. How much did we catch? We've been there how many, like 15 times in a year.
Yeah.
And we caught something different every time. We caught, I've been personally hugged, like, that night we were out there and just something came up to me and wrapped its arms around me. Mm-hmm. There was that, the picture I caught of a man in a white gown standing behind me by the basketball court.
Yep.
The woman screaming, "Help me!"
Field.
The shadows running through the trees in the grove, the voices, the screaming, the touching, like things getting thrown at you, you being scratched, yelled at, threatened. I mean, we have caught so much there. Even in our exploring videos, we were still catching things. That place is so active.
It sounds like it. Well, I know they're in Indianapolis for you guys. There's quite a few haunted locations. I mean, that being one of them, I know there's, you know, the Hannah House and then the Slippery Noodle, or just to name a couple of them. I mean, do you guys know of any other places?
They wouldn't let us in those.
Oh.
We're still trying. We're still trying for those two.
Don't feel bad. That's the way it is around a lot of places. I have one here in Iowa that I've been trying to get into. Not even just myself, but a lot of teams. I personally have been trying for probably over 10 years now. And since it's still actively used as a mental asylum, I'm not making any progress. So...
Yeah, they won't let you in those. I've tried to.
Well, what are some other places there in Indianapolis that, you know, a wayward, wandering ghost investigator might want to check out?
Oh, man.
Hayes Cemetery?
Oh, man, Hayes Cemetery is one of them. It's in Wilkinson, Indiana, they call it Anderson, but it's a small little town in Wilkinson, Indiana. It's Hayes Cemetery. And right, I mean, literally walking distance from Hayes Cemetery
is the real
Crybaby Bridge. And those two just feed off each other, it seems like.
Because there is a stream that runs from one to the other.
Yep. And then we have caught so many things at Hayes Cemetery, we refuse to ever go back.
I'll never go back to Hayes Cemetery.
We will never go back there. Because the last time we were there, the first time we took someone out there, we had the meetup with our team members, John and Kara, the one I mentioned earlier, and the three other YouTube channels, and one of them got possessed, like accidentally possessed. Like something went into him, and he couldn't breathe. He was, like, choking across the – like, we got across the street, and he was choking, and he couldn't breathe, and, like, he was throwing up profusely until, like, we We got what? Holy water? The holy water I keep on me? And I had to cleanse him. And he, as soon as I did that, he felt fine.
What other stuff happened?
Oh, man. What, being rushed by whatever that was coming out of the wood line?
Yeah.
Something, we just could hear just these demonic, nasty growls. These bright red eyes just going all back where those cornfields are, mm-hmm. where the stream is. Because the cemetery, back in the day, in the 80s and 70s, people would go out there and dig up the graves and use the bones for satanic rituals and whatnot. And they vandalized the cemetery. And there's just so much nasty, demonic energy out there. Like, I'm afraid to go back.
So are you sure that it was something demonic in the trees? Or did you think maybe more, it was more maybe a cryptid or something?
That made me wonder, because we have had one, like, what you would say, hellhound experience. We've actually had an encounter with one. but I felt like it was just, it couldn't have been human. It was like these pig squealing noises and like these just unnatural screams. I mean, I kind of believe in cryptids, but then again, you know, that's kind of like a boundary line. I just, whatever it was out there was not of this world, and it did not have really good intentions.
Yeah. Well, and anytime you get into a time like, or into a situation like that, and you get that feeling on you, you know, it's hard to want to stick around.
Yeah, whatever it was had us backed up to our vehicle, and we couldn't even move. Like, we were just backed up. We didn't even want to take our backs off the back of our car.
And if,
during the day, it's fine. We've been there all the time during the day.
During the day, it's
chill.
Fine, you know, just like, you know, any other, you know, place you go to, but at night, it's like a whole nother ball game. And the first night we went is a night that we had our backs to our vehicle. We got there. And we sat there in a car for a minute and just listened, and it was quiet. So we say our prayers, and we get out, and we start getting the equipment out, and we no more got everything ready to go, and then that's when we started hearing stuff coming from the wood line.
But wait, we just missed the whole question. I am so sorry, we missed the whole question.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Other places that we've been to, there's Hay Cemetery, the Crabbaby Bridge, which is just right up the street. Right. If y'all want to visit, Hell's Gate.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Hell's Gate's terrifying. They say there's a lot of demonic rituals, like demonic, like Satanism. They say there's demons. We didn't see no demons. It didn't feel good. There's a lot of occults that happen out there. Sacrifices have been
that people, they still do to this day.
Yeah, and then a train derailment back in the 40s or 50s, it killed the passengers. And you go under the tunnel, and you can sit there at midnight, and you can hear a train coming over the tracks because it's a tunnel. You could hear them, and we caught it on an EVP. We thought it was a legitimate train. And come to find out, that was a dead track. There was never any train. But there, you could hear clearly on our EVP and on our cameras, and everything was shaking. It was a train.
Yeah, because, see, after we heard the train go by or derail what it did,
stuff started scratching the car.
I got on Google Maps real quick to see if there was an active train track above us, and I went halfway down, and the track ended. So
there was no train.
So there's no train. coming either direction at exactly midnight.
And they say that's what happens, and then you'll see, like, there's a urban legend behind it. Like, if you drive up to it, you blow your horn 3 times, flash your lights, and then drive through. You turn around and you do the same thing, but on your way through, you stop. And they say if you see your name on the wall, you'll die within a month or whatever. And I seen my name on the wall, and I didn't die in a month. And there's, like, just little urban legends like that. And then demons are supposed to, you're supposed to see the shadows of them. We didn't see any of that, but we did hear the train.
Well, it sounds like some people in Indiana need to get new hobbies. A whole lot of demonic and Satan worship going on there.
Yeah, we have, like, the majority of our places here are due to Satanism. There's the Witch's Castle, the witch's cemetery,
and then
all types of stuff.
And what makes it so bad is that a lot of the places we go up here,
the Devil's Hollow, all
the,
types of place.
The power lines.
Werewolf Hollow.
Yeah, but see, all those places, have you noticed one thing?
Mm.
They're all out in the country.
Yep.
Like, way, like, 2-3 hours away in the country.
Yeah, where, then there's also...
Where if you get lost,
you're done.
You don't have cell phone service. Basically, how we find these places, we just put it in GPS and hopefully we keep signal.
Yeah, then, you know, there's also, for anyone up in northern Indiana, there's Okie Pinokie.
Yeah, which forest. Is another
it's
good
like
place.
The Indiana version of the Japanese suicide forest. It's, we didn't stay out there too long. Some weird stuff was happening, and actually two of our Instagram followers, that's how we met, and, you know, there was some crazy stuff happening to them, and we wasn't even aware it was paranormal activity. Like, there's just so many places. Gary's also a good haunted area, and then, God, there's just so many.
It sounds like you guys can stay pretty busy out there.
But now, I will say this. If you go into Gary, be careful.
Yes, please.
Be very careful.
Gary is not a good area to be in at night, especially.
Like, if you go in there at night and you go into there's places you can't go in Gary at certain times. So just be careful, please.
That's what I'm worried about our Troy trip. We're going to do some paranormal, but a lot of exploring too in Detroit. Detroit's a big place. I don't know how to feel about Detroit.
Well, I'll tell you what. I had some real good friends of mine. They actually have a paranormal group there in the Detroit area. If you go back and take a look at some of the episodes, I can't remember the exact number right off the top of my head, but the name of the group is Mystic Mitten. It's a female group from Detroit, and if you connect with them, I'm sure they'd be more than happy to work with you to help you find some good places to go.
Yeah, Dev, I've heard of them. I think we followed them, actually.
I think we do.
And then, you know, we also have D-Town there in Michigan, Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
D-Town Paranormal was our very first podcast interview ever.
Yeah.
I remember them.
Okay.
They're in Detroit, too. I just thought that.
Well, good. At least that way we know that you guys will be taken care of when you get over there. I know you guys say a lot of what you do is your urban exploration, and then you do some of the investigation stuff on the side while you're there. What kind of equipment for investigating do you guys use?
We have a K2 meter.
Spirit box.
Yes, an SB7 spirit box, a temperature meter, a digital camera that we use to take pictures. What else?
Two EVPs.
Two EVPs.
Two night vision cameras.
Two night vision cameras and one IR light. No, two IR lights.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's really all. We kind of travel light.
Well, there's definitely not a problem with that, especially if you guys are doing your Urban X stuff, because you don't want to be too laden down with all the extra equipment.
Yeah, because we carried two backpacks. One's full of, you know, one's got all our paranormal, and the other one's like our camera bag with our exploring cameras and then our tripods, batteries, whatnot.
Sure. What would you say is your favorite piece of equipment that you use?
Mine's a spirit box.
Yeah, I like the spirit box, and I also like the K2 meter as well. Spirit box and the K2 meter is like our go-to.
Sure. Yeah, they're honestly two of the best ways to go, because, I mean, one, you're going to get your signals if something's getting close, and then also, you know, it also, those spirit boxes do help you communicate quite a bit. Especially if you guys are kind of out in the middle of nowhere, if you get something coming across there, it's usually a pretty good signal that it's something trying to communicate.
Oh, yeah, we've got some pretty crazy things, especially at Paul Ruster Park. It's a little state park not too far from us that back in the 1893, a 14-year-old boy was hit on the train tracks, and he was buried there. And he's buried in the park, and, you know, that's his family's land and plantation land, but they donated it. We go out there and talk to him all the time, and, like, he's very eager to come through the spirit box. He's, you know, I'm John. I want to talk. How is it going? Like, I mean, he is very clear and very talkative. Like, he loves to talk.
And he likes to play.
He does. He loves to play. He likes to run up behind you and, like, he ran up behind me, remember? You could hear it. But that's why we like using it, because, you know, we're out in the country a little bit, and it just, you can definitely tell what's spirit and what's radio. Like, and I'm here compared to life insurance that comes through sometimes.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sure we could... do a whole episode on some of the weird stuff that's come across that's a commercial cutting in or a DJ or something like that.
Remember the one we did out here? We called one. We did one out here on a live stream the other night, and it was cussing me out, and then it said, I'm a rubber duck. What? Like, there is some weird stuff coming through, like off-the-wall things. I'm like, what?
That reminds me of I did an investigation with a couple other teams at an old schoolhouse one time. And we were getting the spirit of a child playing with us. We were kind of playing hide-and-seek with it. And somebody had asked what its favorite animal was, and it started quacking. So they actually have the EVP of this child's voice say quack, quack, quack.
Oh, so, that's cute.
It was a lot of fun. That was a very active place. But do you guys have any like tips or tricks that kind of work for you to get better responses?
We like to kind of base it off the history. Like, we've noticed, like, if you talk about relevant things that they kind of already know about, like, you know, your basic, what was it like back in this time and this time? Did you do this and this? You know, I mean, like, if you're referring to the history of it, like, we've gotten really good responses out of it. And then, you know, another good way is we never use provocation or anything, but if, like, we kind of poke just a little bit, like, kind of, you know, get into, like, some personal questions, if we poke a little bit, like, we'll get some really good responses then. Some are friendly, some are not.
Yeah, it just kind of depends on the person you're poking, I guess.
Yeah. We've been told, like, numerous times to F off and F you and calling us horrible names. We've been there.
Well, and it sounds like with the type of places you guys have been finding there in Indiana, you know, if it's really are as bad as what you've been saying, you know, any kind of profanity that it's throwing at you is kind of almost a guaranteed thing.
Yeah, that's almost pretty much it. There's some real spirits here.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You were telling me here before we got started that there's a place out in Bloomington, Indiana that was talking about having you guys come out and talk to them.
Oh, yeah. The it was about, 2 weeks ago. I guess they go to University of South Indiana or University of Bloomington. I don't know the college name off my head, but she texted me asking if we could do a podcast interview with her and then come. She's starting a paranormal club, and she does it at a local coffee shop. And she wants us to come in and, you know, kind of give some tips, you know, the do's, the don'ts, the best equipment, you know, what to use, what not to use. Basically, you're kind of teach a class in a way and kind of just guest speak about it.
Sure. It's fun to do those. I've done a handful of them myself. But it's really neat to watch their face, especially when you're going through telling them about the equipment and then talking about some of the stuff you've caught with the equipment. You can really see their faces and kind of go slack-jawed a little bit.
Yeah, we've caught some pretty crazy pictures. Like, pictures I wouldn't have – if you would have told me, I wouldn't have believed it. Like, we have caught some insane photos.
That one at the Toledo Hill.
Yes, yeah, that was the best picture we ever caught.
What was that picture?
It's right when we first started, we were living in Lower Alabama, closer to Mobile. That was my hometown. And we went to this place right across from the Civil War battleground. It's called Saluda Hill. Then the oldest grave out there is a Revolutionary War soldier. I mean, there's families buried out there that was before the Civil War. But we were out there, and there was a legend of a woman can be seen in white holding her baby because she had passed away. Her child had passed away at birth, and then she died a few days after, and they were buried together. And they said, you can see her. And we actually caught a picture of her. You can see she was wearing like this long Victorian dress that buttoned at her neck and her hair was up and she was holding a baby. Clear as day, you could see the baby and you could see her holding it. Actually, whenever we get off here, I will send it to you on Instagram. I took a picture of it from my laptop screen. Because when I seen it, I had to take a picture of it and send it. I sent it to you and I sent it to John. Mm-hmm. I was like, look at this.
Yeah, I'd be really interested to take a look at that. That'd be really cool. So let's talk a little bit more about your YouTube channel here quick. What kind of stuff do you guys all have on your YouTube channel? Is it kind of a mix between your Urban X and your investigations then?
Yeah, it's we normally like to do like an exploring video, then we'll do an investigating video, and then another exploring. We like to try to keep a pattern, or you know, we'll put up a drone video when we had the drone, or we would do a live stream here and there. We just kind of have like a mix of things we do.
Sure. Okay. Well, and I definitely encourage all of our listeners to take a chance when they get done listening to this episode, to go on that YouTube channel and check out a lot of those videos. But I guess for now, I mean, is there anything else that you guys want to tell us about up there in Indiana?
Be careful exploring, because they don't like you exploring here in Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? It's kind of a closed-off community type thing?
Yeah. You got to be really careful, and if you get caught, you know, that's what a lot of people, I want to stress. Please don't do this if, you know,
we do it. Because there are risks involved.
We do it the proper way. We get permission, you know, we get written statements and stuff. But, you know, a lot of our exploring, you know, we can get in trouble for it. And I urge people, don't try this at home.
Sure. Well, and I mean, there's going to be that risk of danger anytime you do that urban exploring, because maybe not so much on the trespassing side, but, you know, you are in buildings that are old and they're falling apart, and, you know, you really have to pay attention to what you're doing because you can get really hurt.
Yeah, it's almost happened a few times. We've almost fell through a few floors. It's not safe, but, you know, we do take proper measures and the precautions. You know, if it looks bad, you obviously don't walk there. You know, you just kind of keep your distance from the spots that look really bad.
Sure. And I mean, maybe if some of our listeners decide they want to go out and try this, you know, I'd almost recommend going online and finding a team that actually does the urban exploring and go with them first, just so you can kind of get the basics of it.
Yeah, that's how we did it. We met up with friends of ours that were explorers, and we got the taste of it, and then we just fell in love with it.
Like everything paranormal along the way as well.
Yeah, we did.
Well, Sarah, Brad, we've actually reached the end of the show. We've got a good conversation going tonight. I appreciate you taking the time to be on.
Oh, not a problem. We appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, well, like I said, it would have been nice to have done it a little sooner, but the weather didn't quite seem to want to cooperate here, so.
That's fine. That's understandable. I mean, you know, weather happens.
Yes, it does. All right, well, you guys have yourselves a good night.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Yep, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks again to Sarah and Brad Wilson with B-Town Paranormal for being our guests today, and thanks to all of you for tuning in. Please take a minute to give us a review on iTunes or whatever directory you listen to us on. It means a lot to us, and we want to hear your feedback to help make our show just a little bit better. My name is Brandon, and you have been listening to the best place to bring our paranormal teams a little closer together, the ParaUnity Podcast.